What happened?
Oh, these hippie weirdos, they broke into my house.
Is everybody okay?
Well, the f***ing hippies aren't. That's for damn sure. But I'm fine.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
That's my corn out there. You guys are guests in my corn.
No, this is no good.
We're going for a ride.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
KTTH, Brian Suits here. Good morning, everybody. Hey, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Maybe I'll watch that this weekend after I catch a giant sturgeon and throw it back, which you should consider very inedible. What is the reason for the governor dropping the booster mandate? Yeah, it wouldn't be anything as craven as negotiating with a labor union, would it? We'll get to that. Also, the latest about how national news is reporting the Mar-a-Lago search warrant on both sides of the aisle, some Ukraine stuff as we head into the weekend, all that packed into our final hour here. It's AM 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here with producer Greg. We'll get you to work with our right-way traffic. AM 770 KTTH. Good morning. Good Friday, everybody. And it's going to be a lovely, lovely weekend. Not too hot. Yesterday was supposed to be the hottest day of the week or something. Today's going to be a nice day.
I've loved the weather this week.
Yeah,
I've been a big fan.
There was a meteor shower. There was sturgeon moon. Now I can't see it. Moon's down.
Nice job, nature.
Yeah, thank you, Bin Laden. But when I got when I walked out of the house at 3:15, I looked up and there it was, the sturgeon moon, the legendary sturgeon moon. The third. That's your final. Your final supermoon of the year. And again, if no one told you it was a supermoon, you would just look up and go, huh, a full moon. But even though it's a supermoon because it's, 1,000 miles closer, it's imperceptible to the human eye.
I don't know. I tend to ask existential questions when I see that full moon in the sky when I'm driving across
the bridge, man? At
3:30 a.m. I look up and I say, what does it all mean? God, are you there? It's me, Greg.
It's funny because there's no way to measure IQ in past human society, but I maintain or past human civilization. I maintain that they had to be smarter. Or they'd be deader. We wouldn't have survived if they weren't smarter.
Well, how old are we talking here? 2,000
years ago? 40,000 years ago.
40,000 years ago.
Yeah. Because they had to spend all day long, figuring out A, how to survive, B, how to defeat the animal, how to trap it, how to catch it. You know, where did it drink? Where did it eat? You know, the whole thing. And then somebody figure out how to sharpen obsidian so we can cut this damn thing apart. Then they look up in the sky, the same sky that we see. Some people are seeing figures. Some people are praying to Saturn or praying to Uranus or praying to the supermoon. But they're the ones who are noticing it first. And years and years and years of accumulated knowledge. And they're saying, you know, whenever the moon is this big and Og cut a semicircle in a bone, and when he holds it out at arm's length, if it goes past that semicircle, it's time to fish for sturgeon.
I know why your mind
That's
is thinking in these terms this morning.
Because it's a sturgeon moon.
I just watched the first 30 minutes of the new movie Prey last night on Hulu.
The prequel to Predator happening in 1719.
Yes, and it's very cool what they do. Apart from being an alien invasion type movie, it features Native Americans from hundreds of years ago, and they really kind of nail it in terms of their day-to-day life. And you see them, sharpening their bow and arrows and going out and hunting and worrying about wildlife attacks on their village. And it's pretty compelling stuff.
Imagine being that. I mean, never mind Predator in Guatemala in 1986 when Jesse Ventura has a personally held Gatling gun. What if it was Predator in 1719 and, all I brought is this bow? That's why I maintain ancient man, early man. By early, I mean 20,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago. And anyway, that's what I think of when I see like the meteor shower, because obviously that'd be miraculous if you saw it for the first time. But then it keeps coming back. What, you know, why when it's really warm, when the sturgeon are biting, why do the light shoot from the sky, you know, or whatever? But that's what I think. A lot of people, obviously, we know now that the Earth is orbiting the moon, and we know annually why the Perseid meteor shower arrives, because we're going through its path. But just put yourself, you know, back 5,000 years.
Next time you go on a reflective monologue like that, tip me off before you do it so I can cue this sounder.
And now, Deep Thoughts.
Jack Handy.
By Jack Handy.
Fit perfectly.
You know what? My favorite Jack Handy deep thought was, they should never send a dog up on the space shuttle, because on the way home, he'll stick his head out the window and burn his face off. So what? One of the greatest ones. Yeah, you know, the other great thing about Prey and any movie about ancient man is you realize, man, dogs are awesome. Whatever ancient man said, see that wolf den in there? I'm going to go in there and I'm going to grab, I don't care how much the mother wolf is biting my arm, I'm pulling a puppy out. And we're going to, and it is going to, we're going to make it domesticated. That's, you know, and also, by the way, we wouldn't have advanced without dogs, and dogs would not have advanced without us. That's the connection. That's why you feel so connected to dogs that you don't feel connected to cats. So this is all my way of avoiding having to say Governor Jay Inslee. So he didn't, the governor didn't say why he lifted the COVID booster requirement for state employees, because he doesn't know about the sturgeon moon, couldn't explain the Perseid meteor shower, and he can't explain why he lifted the booster requirement for COVID. Some say it's because of labor unions. This is what the new state directive, as of August 5th, remember all the local networks broke in live to that press conference? Quote, I direct the Office of Financial Management to pursue options to incentivize all state executive and small cabinet agency employees to remain fully vaccinated with most up-to-date vaccination, blah, blah, blah. So it's no longer a requirement. In fact, they're going to pay you. Elizabeth Hovde with the Washington Policy Center said, I think the incentive is going to come in the form of compensation or a bonus. Close quote. She believes Inslee is feeling political pressure from labor unions. That's not following the science. It's following your wallet. Who have been using vaccinations as a bargaining issue. Ms. Hovde from the Washington Policy Center says the governor is in negotiations now with labor unions, and that seems to be directing the course. It's not the fact that so many people have lost their careers because of the mandate. So there you go. The fifth cold this year, and it's become it's shocking. It's become political. All right, back in a second. The Washington Post claiming they know all about what's in the stuff that the FBI sees from Mar-a-Lago. But then again, they can print anything they want. So I'm going to have to find my gigantic grain of salt and take it with that here in just a second. That and very sad news for a beloved local athlete right after this. AM 770 KTTH, let's get you to work with the right way traffic. Check your text at 830, 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. And, you know, as I don't have to justify this, but we couldn't get Cairo Radio out in Port Angeles. So that's why I'm not a natural born Mariners fan, but we could get KNBR in San Francisco. So that's why the first team I would listen to on AM radio was the Giants. And so yesterday, the Giants tweeted something out, and I didn't know this. And let me read their tweet. But, I mean, the bottom line is beloved local pitcher Tim Lincecum from your Liberty High School in Issaquah, then, of course, legendary pitcher at the UW, two-time Cy Young winner, three-time World Series champ with the Giants. His wife, Kristen Coleman, died of cancer a few weeks ago. And, you know, a legendary reclusive guy and, you know, and all that. And he's, you know, he's not a guy who's going to call the local network and say, break in live, because, you know, whatever. But his wife was a really well-liked elementary school principal in the Bay Area, in the Burlingame area where Linscombe has made his home down there. And because they were talking about the 2012, the 10-year reunion of a Giants World Series, in which Linscombe, of course, was key. That's why they called, you know, the UW, they called him the freak. He took that into the major leagues. And in San Francisco, they called him the franchise. And always very private guy, very, very private guy. Even with he was with them, and so it sort of took the franchise aback, because he's not going to participate in this 10-year anniversary because he's, you know, dealing with bigger fish to fry. But the Giants yesterday tweeting out, the Giants were extremely saddened to learn of the passing of Tim Linscombe's wife, Kristen Coleman. Our deepest condolences go out to Tim, Kristen's family, and all those whose lives she touched as a friend and teacher. So anyway,
terribly sad story, died at the tender age of just 38 years old.
Yeah.
Can't imagine the grief and suffering he's feeling right now. And I can't help but personalize this, because my wife is 38 years old and the thought of losing her is just unimaginable. So yeah, lots of thoughts and, dare I say, prayers lifted up for Tim Lincecum in the face of this tragedy.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, lots of connection, you know, raised around here, Issaquah, Liberty High School, UW, a legendary, you know, UW pitcher. Lots of people that feel for the guy, and if you're a baseball fan, it was just such a, you know, unicorn to see somebody that small, because he's a small guy. Just three years in a row, major league strikeout leader 3 years in a row. And then one time after a World Series, I saw his wife. And otherwise, you know, he's not a guy who, you know, he wasn't that guy. He wasn't out there. So I feel bad for the guy. If you know him, you probably already know this stuff. And I'm sure you've reached out to the guy. But locally, a beloved athlete. So the Washington Post is saying that, I'm not sure if they've changed it in the last couple hours or not, but as of last night, they said that they had a source, which any newspaper can see. Yeah, it's still up. FBI searched Trump's home to look for nuclear documents and other items, sources say. And they're you know, they're playing the game, checking the box, saying multiple independent sources. Classified documents relating to nuclear weapons were among the items FBI agents sought in a search of former President Donald Trump's Florida residence. And that's, by the way, you know, let me point out that that's what they were looking for. Is that what they took away? Well, we don't know. They're going to release that inventory. Now, the president has denied this. Now, and keep in mind, he has the warrant. He has a receipt of stuff they took away. And I would have to say, if this is not true, he should release. He should not wait for the DOJ, which apparently this is going to be by close of business today. It's going to be out. So if I were him, I would get ahead, lean forward in the saddle on this. And if it's not true, release that. Because what I don't want, as of yesterday, things changed. Some guy in Ohio believed that we're at the precipice of a civil war or something. And I don't know what psychopathy was wrong with him, but he was on social media talking about that we should go to war with the rank and file of the FBI or something. Anyway, he's dead. The 41-year-old guy can't explain what he thought he was going to accomplish by taking a nail gun and an AR-15 to a local FBI office. This was the Ohio State Police or State Patrol on what started as an attempt to, by his own words, murder FBI agents, try to kill a bunch of armed people. But it winds up with him fleeing in his car and then dying in a cornfield.
he headed northbound on Interstate 71. Near the rest area, the northbound rest area on Interstate 71 in Warren County, one of our troopers did spot the vehicle, attempted to initiate a traffic stop. This was at 9:37 this morning. Attempted to initiate a traffic stop with that vehicle, and a pursuit ensued out of that. Throughout the pursuit, it continued northbound on 71. The suspect vehicle did fire shots during that pursuit. Once the vehicle came to a stop, gunfire was exchanged between officers on scene and the suspect.
And he lost. He played catcher for the Ohio State Patrol's Air 15 team. So the guy's done. This time yesterday, the guy is arriving to do this and start this because he thought that somehow Trump is an oracle and that there's just no way that they would. And by the way, I would just say this. If you're the federal government, would you really serve a bad warrant, a poorly written warrant or something like that on a guy worth near $1 billion who can afford, who spent the last 50 years affording every lawyer in Manhattan? So I'm going to, because I believe that at the very top of the FBI, they can be as political as any other agency. And that's too bad because for some reason, there are people who believe there was a point where the FBI was not political. And you need to probably disabuse yourself of that notion and take it off its pedestal because it began political and it's never not been political at the very top. So, but believe me, today's FBI is an aquarium compared to the transparency of the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s until J. Edgar Hoover died. But that being said, it also requires another element. And it was this guy believing somehow that the last best hope for traditional America or whatever is this guy who already had a shot at being president for a term and then lost an election. That's what 96 federal judges say, not a single case there's nothing Rudy Giuliani can say to me to make me think he's not crazy right now. There's nothing. Rudy Giuliani on September 12th, 2001, you know, I'll walk through fire for
America's
the guy.
Mayor.
Yeah. But Rudy Giuliani, hair dye melting down his face, coming up with one wacky theory over another just because he wants to sniff the bike seat of Donald Trump. That was a circus. Okay. That election has been adjudicated more than any other election in American history. There's that. But the guy was president already. And will he run again? Yeah, he's gonna. Will he win this time? Probably. Given the current incumbent of the Oval Office.
Let's see what details come out from this search
but
warrant.
It's interesting.
And how severe it is.
Jessica Levinson from Loyola Marymount was pointing out that the congressional law, ironically, that Trump signed in 2018 saying that mishandling of classified documents gives you a lifetime ban on holding or appointed or elected public office. She points out, that's not the Constitution. The Constitution says be a naturalized born American citizen, be 35. More than a third of you should be left-handed. And it doesn't say anything about, oh, by the way, not have any, you can have 10 DUIs and a felony and a murder conviction and still be president. So she points out, I hadn't thought of this, but even though the law says that David Petraeus can't hold public office, he could run for president because it doesn't say in Article 2, oh, by the way, if someday there are things called nuclear weapons. So anyway, as I say, this because this guy yesterday seems to feel like he's been sprayed with crazy juice. I'm just concerned that he's not alone. And that there's a breed of disaffected young man. This guy was in his 40s. He was 41 or 42. But there's a breed of disaffected people that feel like an oracle has been revealed to them and the Oracle is being wronged or something. And
yeah, he posted on Truth Social about the FBI and also a revolutionary type war that was coming.
Yeah. Just like the guy who went to the pizza place because Hillary Clinton was keeping infant five-year-olds there for pedophiles. And then until he admitted, yeah, maybe I had that wrong. You know, folks, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. That's all I'm going to say. The Washington Post might be lying about what, never mind what they were looking for, what did they get? But then again, I can have that answered because that receipt could be released by the person who was searched. But so you understand there's many, many layers happening all at once. And what about Hunter's laptop? And we'll be back right after this. We'll check your text, 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. We'll check your text right after this. Let's, by the way, AM 770 KTT, let's get you to work with our right-way traffic. KTTH, Brian Suits here. I can explain something. I didn't know this, but...
You better explain yourself.
On the Twitter machine, when I'm on the PC-based Twitter, that's a picture of me. A sub 1, it was a drunken selfie on a ferry coming into Seattle. Actual B, that's my real name. And then C, I don't limit comments. And what I didn't know was that on my cell phone, if I tweet from the app on, you see, my phone's smart. So from my smartphone, it was, I don't even notice it. There's a who can reply button. And I didn't, it doesn't ask you that every time. It asks you once. And I didn't notice, but I did a hashtag ad for my good friends at bullionmax.com/KTTH. And when we do that, you don't allow replies. You do hashtag ad, and then only people I tweet about can limit replies. And that was hanging on to a bunch. So anyway, someone I've never met, but they really come off as a complete Adam Henry, just said, "Hey, Brian, why are you limiting comments on most of your tweets these days?" And then he did a little, like, chin in hand smiley face emoji. And turns out it was just a big mix up between me and a rando called Old Pervy One.
So I mean you didn't reply?
Don't you ever talk about me?
Who was talking about you?
like young Dick Sherman. No. So anyway, that's what it is. It's resolved because that's the entire point about Twitter. The one thing I would improve is use your real name. And if you want to put up a picture, it should be you. But whatever, I don't care about that. But use your real name. I think behavior in general on the interwebs would change if people had to use their real name.
You like that? You like that?
I still know who that. Oh, that was the golfer. No, I mean the bowler.
No, that was the NFL guy.
Kirk, what's his name?
Cousins?
Kirk Cousins. That's right. Anyway.
Random drop of the day.
Let's see. Starting with check your text. By the way, hit the music tab to check your text. Brian, I've listened to you for a long time, going back to your days on. Enjoy your commentary. I guess that's why it's the Brian Suit Show. Greg needs to reserve his comment for the Michael Medved show.
Excuse me.
Since it is a Brian Suit Show, I would tell him if I felt like that.
This is a free country, people.
Continue, Greg, I order you to continue expressing your comments.
From the 714 B&G, every time I rewatch Fight Club,
oh, man.
I think it is perhaps the greatest inspection of American culture in recent history. When I saw it the first time, I thought it was just a clever plot. A very interesting insight there. I always loved Fight Club. It came out in my early 20s. So, of course, it's stylized. It's got violence. It's got Brad Pitt. I'm going to gravitate towards it. But yes, in retrospect, there is something at the heart of the film about directionless males in America.
You know what? That's what Chuck Palahniuk got into. And where else but Portland, Oregon, does he live? And did he write that novel 20 years ago? Or more than that, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
From the 514, happy Friday, guys. To continue Brian's take of anyone out between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m. is either working or up to no good, you could not be more correct. I live off of South 96th between Hosmer and Pacific Avenue, each intersection demarcated by 7-Eleven stores whose sign is like a sturgeon moon to moths, so it is to thugs to the 7-Elevens. I literally have to keep my bright lights on as zombie apocalypse types wearing all black invisible pedestrian suits aimlessly careen around the streets. This is poetic.
Absolutely.
Often toting sacks of only God knows what's in there.
You know, and it's funny because ever since I've changed my route to work to a faster, better route, a certain county, or should I say a Thurston County guy, has been in the town, and he's trailed me 3 days in a row. I think he's finally figured out I'm not careening my way home from a casino. I'm on my way to work, because this morning he gave me a headlight flash and we waved from T-Town Doug. Brian, and let's get into honesty, shall we?
Yes.
Brian read the room. You just told half the listeners to seek entertainment elsewhere. I choose to stay as this isn't the only lib station I listen to. Got to get in the heads of the opposition, T-Town Doug. Well, you know, here's the thing, Doug. First of all, I don't deny it's entertaining. I'm supposed to be able to pass on an opinion in a maybe an informative way. If it's entertaining, that's on you. But I also can't lie. And I could lie and say, I voted for Trump the first time. I didn't vote for him the first time. I urge people not to vote for him the first time. I voted to reelect him because I liked the results. Were they by accident? I don't know. But I know that economy wasn't by accident. And then I also voted for him because I couldn't believe Joe Biden was running. So I'm not going to sit here and lie to you, but I don't belong to a cult of personality. I named my own child Reagan, but I don't worship Ronald Reagan. She happened. Also, we arranged it so that she was born at Ronald Reagan UCLA Medical Center to just slam dunk it. But I don't worship him. I'm an extraordinary admirer of the guy, but I don't worship him because if I tried to, he would have told me not to. And I was deeply disturbed by the cult of personality around Barack Obama for 8 years. That's what it was. It was a cult. It was a cult of a guy that made you feel better. So sorry, I can't belong to one for this guy. But I would I take him over Joe Biden? Yeah, in a heartbeat.
A lot of people, Brian, have asked me, hey, did you know Brian before you started producing for him? I really didn't. You and I met.
We literally never met.
You and I met on the air 6 months ago. And one thing I can tell our listeners to this show is that something I've found very inspiring and refreshing about you is that you have an authenticity about what you say on the air that is like manna from heaven to me, because I can't tell people enough how many personalities there are in cable news and in talk radio where everything they say is a careful calculation and trying to sabermetrics the rating system and what will my audience want to hear, but what do I really believe? And you rely on your intelligence, your intuition, your spontaneity, and your sense of humor to tell it like it is and let the chips fall where they may. And so, I'm not trying to brown nose you here.
Yeah.
Also one reason I've been a producer for Michael Medved for 16 years is you two share that similar quality. Even though you might disagree on some things, I know that what you say is coming from the heart and you're trying to tell the truth to the best of your ability and then saying, hey, if you like it, stay tuned in. If you don't, change the station.
Yeah,
okay.
And I mean, the reason we left LA is because I told a 14-year legendary radio station to consume a bag of Richards, because I wouldn't do that. And here I am. I'm not about to start, you know, here by pandering, because it's inauthentic. And I'm sorry. I just, you know, that's why it's the same reason I don't use a radio voice. But anyway.
And we'll be right back.
No, don't do that. No, I can beat you down. I've got it down. Oh, I'll check the cars. We'll be back right after this. AM 770 KTTH. Brian sits here. And that's not personal, by the way. We'll finish strong and end the Friday saving the best for last after we get you to work with the right way traffic. 770 KTH. One last. Well, actually, this is on Twitter from a long time follower. Do I follow him back? I think I do. Okay. Well, I will now. Web Anger. So we're going to have a nuanced conversation. But Web Anger says, love you, Suits, as well as master producer Tomlin. How about this time around? Conservatives just take the damned hill. And my reply was, I'd prefer to just win the election. You know, and by the way, okay, I'll try not to roll my eyes when people use war metaphors for non-war activities. If a tornado goes through your neighborhood, it doesn't look like a war zone. It looks like a freaking tornado went through your neighborhood. I mean, that was a joke that we had in Baghdad, which is a dump. And it wasn't, believe me, it's a gigantic 6 million person burn pit. It was a burn pit before we showed up. But that was kind of the joke is, boy, they could really use an earthquake to straighten this place out.
Well, yeah, since you've been in a war zone before and many war zones, are you one of those guys that gets ticked off with war analogies when it comes to sports as well, which definitely around the NFL? Yeah.
But
you know, battlefield down there. It's like a war.
The people who started that language fought World War II. I'm not going to, you know, wasn't on Okinawa, but I was in Sarajevo. And we looked at, and they left up all the buildings that were damaged that would get red tagged in this country. But I wasn't going to tell the Sarajevans, boy, it looks like a tornado went through here, or you know, or whatever. But it is this kind of it gets overwhelming. I think that's the thing. Baseball doesn't lend itself to war metaphors because no one's pounding each other. You know, and as Robert Downey Jr. said in what was the Rodney Dangerfield movie, Back to School?
Uh-huh.
He said a violent ground acquisition game like football is really just a crypto-fascist metaphor for nuclear war. but I mean, that's what it is. It was a violent ground acquisition game. Let's see, do any of this I already played that's the thing about baseball. I already played the audio of Joey Votto last night talking to the broadcast team. It's not between innings. They always like talk to the manager as they're there in the dugout saying, oh, yeah, I pulled him in the third inning because he got his pitch count was 135 by the third inning or what. So he's not playing the game. You know, that was a real game last night. And Joey Votto is of the Reds, like legendary Reds, Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. He's just there's batters at bat, and he's talking to John Smoltz about the first time he faced him, you know, in a game and all that. That was the part that was really cool because that everyone knows that in baseball, you know, you can talk normally. The first baseman always talks to the guy who took the base, who hit a single or walked. They're always sitting there talking about because they share an agent, or maybe they both drive Lamborghinis or Rivians. Or something. That's the thing about baseball. It's the pace of the game.
Well, and we always love to see what's going on behind the curtain, so-called. I remember when I was a talk radio fan before I got in this industry, I did a sit-in on one of the shows that I loved, and it was like a thrill to be able to hear what the host and producers would say off the air, because you only get the on-field product, so to speak. So it's always fascinating to hear, what are they really saying in the downtime? Are they talking about their families? Are they still talking about the issues? Are they the same kind of person? And I think that's why we love the whole mic'd-up phenomenon.
I had, you know how rare Dave Ross interactions are? I had a great one yesterday.
You did?
Yeah.
There was full eye contact.
I made him laugh. He made me laugh. And I was driving out of the automatic electric gate here at the super secret radio ranch as he was walking to the parking lot, because he always beats me here every morning. He beats me here. And for some reason, huge parking lot, they parked us right together. And I don't complain, but
that's cute.
Kind of a white line hog, I'll tell you that. But however, so I'm leaving. And I said, you might beat me here, Ross, but I'm beating you out of here. and he laughed and shook his fist. He goes, Suits. And it was just pretty. He's literally never said my name.
Wow. Human interaction between radio stations. No,
because I grew up listening to him. And that was like my first week in talk radio. The boss said, hey, are you ready to fill in for Dave Ross for the week? And I went, no, you know. So that was my first week in talk radio. I was down the
street. That's a trial by fire.
It really was. Luckily, we had the goose feces algae breakout at Green Lake, so it was a dense news week. I'm not even making that up. Anyway, last night, Ken Griffey Jr., Ken Griffey Sr., legendary Reds baseball players, the first father-son home run combo, and I think the only in Major League history.
Yeah, one of the greatest Mariner moments ever.
Yeah, I can't see, no one's ever even been close, but some of
people will come, Ray.
Almost as if it was a setup. But anyway, last night to begin the Field of Dreams, they made it all about having a kid, dad and son having a kid. They walk out of the corn.
Hey, Dad, you want to have a catch?
I'd like that.
No, I'm on the road. So that, by the way, for the record, that's not the movie set diamond.
Right.
That was purpose built to
don't spoil our fun, Brian.
Yeah. So just in case you're wondering, the movie set diamond, they would do these big drone shots, you know, sort of high and above drone shots. You can see the movie set's where the house is. And you know, I didn't know it, but you know, the jerky jerk face brother-in-law that wants to foreclose on the farm, Timothy Busfield.
Uh-huh.
He was there last night. I can't believe they don't use him for something.
Like, oh, for sure. He has to be the bad guy who comes out on the field and goes, let's stop the
game.
That's
the thing. For the seventh inning stretch, never mind a hologram of Harry Carey, they should have had Timothy Busfield drive up in a Jeep, you know, and hand foreclosure papers or something.
They come to Iowa for reasons they can't even fathom.
That's Terrence Mann. Yeah, and I'm the Easter Bunny. But anyway, it shouldn't take a little girl choking on a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for Timothy Busfield to see the magic.
Here's a hot dog.
Or whatever. She'll be turning handsprings in a second. Back in a second. By second, I mean entire weekend of 6 a.m. Monday. Thanks to producer Greg. Thanks, everybody, for interacting. You know, I love keeping it honest. And so let's keep keeping it honest next week. And we'll let the weekend play out. We'll be back. Dan Bongino's up next. Same 770 KTJ.